Please be seated for the lection. Our reading for today, which is found on your bulletin, as you can see, is rather long. It is the very familiar story of David and Goliath. Now, this takes place roughly 1,100 years or so before the coming of Christ. And it begins in chapter 16 of 1 Samuel with the prophet Samuel going to the house of Jesse to find the next king of Israel, since Saul has been so disobedient. We begin reading. Thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all the young men here?" Then he said, "There remains yet the youngest, and there he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." So he sent and brought him in. Now David was ruddy, with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. We pick up the story a while later. So David rose early in the morning, and he came to the camp as the army was going out to the fight and shouting for the battle. Then as he talked with his brothers, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them." So David took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself five smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore, David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Now the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley and to the gates of the Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell along the road to Shaaraim, even as far as Gath and Ekron. Then the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, and he put his armor in his tent. Thus far our reading. So Goliath, they assume, was between 8.5 and 9 feet tall. I remember my teacher trying to show us how tall that was when I was in grade school. And his armor alone weighed over 100 pounds. About 100 years ago up in Canada, there was a woman by the name of Anna Bates, and she was over 8 feet tall. And she had what is called gigantism, probably the same thing that Andre the Giant of the Princess Bride movie also had. 7'4", 520 pounds he was when he died. So this great story of David and Goliath is one of the classic stories in all of literature, not just among Christians, but among people who aren't of the Christian faith. And a lot of times it's used as an incentive for people when they're in a situation where they're really up against the odds, where they're up against a foe or an enemy or maybe a team that they're trying to beat. Many coaches have drawn upon this imagery to try to stir up the hearts of their players to go up against a rival who is so much bigger and better than they are. Just in the last week or so, the New York Times has run an article with this title of David and Goliath, because in the baseball playoffs right now, there are the New York Yankees are playing the Astros. The Yankees have a player who is 6'7", Aaron Judge, 275 pounds. And yet the best hitter on the Astros team is only about 5'5", Jose Altuve. So you'll hear this story of David and Goliath in our culture quite a bit. So what is it that makes this scrawny teenager David believe that he can go up against this massive, well-known warrior in Goliath? Well, we may easily attribute this to his courage and to his heroism, or maybe kind of his unbridled youthful enthusiasm that thinks he can conquer someone who's bigger than he is. But I'd rather have a C in here and in this story today, which is why I included the anointing of him to be king. I would rather have a C in here that in David, God had worked the gift of faith to simply trust the command and promise of God. God had commanded and promised that he would be the next king of Israel. And David, in humble faith, was confident that even against such great odds, God could work this out according to his will. So David's success is not to be found in his courage or in his heroism or his unbridled youthful enthusiasm, but it is rather to be found in the fact that God had given him a promise, and God will always be faithful to his words, even when he has to work it out in situations where our reason might think it appears it would be impossible. All of the details supplied in the story that I just read for us underline the fact that it is truly God's doing and not David's. He's the youngest and littlest of all his brothers. We hear about the oversized armor of Saul that's falling off of him, causing him to not even be able to walk. The comments by King Saul and by Goliath himself, "Am I a dog that you come out to me with sticks?" The description of the tiny little stones that he picks out of the brook, and the little sling that he uses. All of this is just there in the scriptures to emphasize the fact that it's not David. It's God who has given his promise and command and will fulfill that. And David clearly attributes his success entirely to this from God. Listen, he says to the Philistine, "I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you've defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand." I believe in the Louvre in France, the art museum, There are at least 10 or a dozen depictions of this scene. Artists love this scene, especially the one in the back of our bulletin that Gustave Doré has. Caravaggio, I believe, did a number of these, of this little scrawny kid holding the head of this giant Goliath. What a grotesque picture, and yet at the same time, what a picture of God being the one to fulfill his promises. So, what are the promises that your God has made to you? What are the things that God has commanded and promised before you in your life? He's promised you that through the work of his Son, Jesus Christ, he's forgiven you all of your sins. Sometimes easy for us to doubt that. He's promised you that through faith in Christ, your body will rise again from the grave and be taken to heaven. He's promised you that because of the work of his Son and the faith in your heart that holds on to him, you will someday get to live forever in the mansions of heaven. These are the promises God has given you. And they may seem insurmountable in this world. But trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Amen.